Everybody, he's Sam McEwen. I'm Ben Duty. It's Behind the Ballot from Omaha.com and the World Herald on a Monday off a disaster in State College. Welcome back to town, Sam. How are you?
I'm good. It was a good trip, except for the post game and for that thing we call for 3 hours, the game itself. It wasn't very good.
How was Matt Rhule's mood today? You were over at the presser in the Huskers facility. How'd it go?
He was pensive early on. Like, he was trying to, you know, yeah, this is intense week. As the press conference went on, I think he unpacked more of how much this game means to the program in terms of a summary statement for where its culture's at. At one point he said, you know, it's not so much what we do today, but every you know, time we've lifted and every day we've eaten that gets you to the point where you're no longer a bad program, but a program that can compete with and beat Iowa. So I think there's an understanding of how important this game is, and I think he appreciates it. I think it's going to be kind of a low-key week. It feels a little tense, and we'll see how it goes.
I got a question for you about this game. This is a must-win game, as far as I'm concerned, at least for this purpose, which is, if you want to say this is a step-forward year for Nebraska, you have to win this game. You have to win this game for this year, okay? My question to you is, how does that play for next year? So, for example, does 8-4 versus 7-5 in the regular season make a difference in the portal? Does it make a difference in recruiting? Does it impact how the 2026 Huskers set up, or is it more just about this year?
Absolutely. I think there's a real bounce that you can get off of finishing 8-4, and then again, the bowl game's going to happen before the portal, and you can't really finalize anything from the portal until January. And so, like, if they go 8-4 and then they win 9's always been a standard bearer for every college football program. You get to 9 and all of a sudden you use that word 9, and it's just an easy word to use, and it would absolutely help the program. It would, absolutely. So, you know, it's something where not only does Nebraska want to win this game because it means a lot to beat Iowa, but it also gets them further along the goals. The recruiting class, Ben's pretty much set, but the portal is not. They don't know exactly who they're going to get, and they don't even know who's all going to be in there. And so you want to be able to put the best portfolio possible, which includes finances, but includes the other stuff, in front of prospective transfers.
How do you think the mood around the program is from a fan base? I sense a little extra juice here, a little extra frustration after just how bad this was on Saturday, and feeling like you just better win. You better win against Iowa. What's your sense of how the fans are feeling?
I think you have a pretty good read of it. I think fans are tired of losing to Iowa. They've lost 9 out of the last 10, and they've lost every single one in Memorial Stadium since 2011. So if Nebraska goes and loses on Saturday or Friday, I should say, you're going to hear a smattering of boos. You're going to hear it. If they struggle, if they get behind 14-0, you're going to hear the boo birds. I think people are tired of losing this game to a team that they don't fundamentally respect, which they probably should at this point, but don't. And so as a result, I think the fan base is ready. They're ready for Nebraska to beat Iowa. And if Nebraska does that, I think you'll see it turn on a dime and people will be super positive for the next month. This game is important. I thought it would be important coming into the season. I thought Nebraska would go into this game 7-4, and I thought they would beat Iowa. And we'll see if it's time. We'll see if it's time for Nebraska to do that. If they put all the work in and all the prep in to get this thing done on Friday.
All right, we're going to work in a quick sponsorship read. The presenting sponsor of Behind the Ballot is our own charity, Goodfellows. Goodfellows provides emergency assistance to families who need it in the Omaha area, little Nebraska, little Western Iowa. And the prompt this week is go donate $8, goodfellowsomaha.com. I want you to donate $8, which is what you need for the season win total for the Huskers. So donate $8 to Goodfellows if you're a Husker fan and you're into this idea that Nebraska can get its 8th victory on Friday at Memorial Stadium. Okay, on to the ballot. Sam, the Hawkeyes are still in your ballot. They cannot get out. You actually moved them up, if I am not mistaken, a couple spots after their win over Michigan State. Tell us about that.
And it was an ugly win. But the reality is a couple of teams above them lost. And so, yeah, we moved them up, even though it was a pretty ugly win over Michigan State. Like I've said before, Iowa's gravity. It pulls really good teams and really bad teams closer to Iowa. And so, again, you don't want to read too much into the concept of good losses, but at this point, you know, Iowa's got losses to teams like Indiana and Oregon, and those are terrific, terrific football teams. Let's be honest. And Iowa took them to the wire. So I think you have to tip your cap to that and note how impressive that is. And of course, they lost at USC and then they lost to Iowa State. So it's true that they've lost all the games that you probably, in theory, should have lost this year. But the way they've done that's been very impressive. And of course, they've had some dominant victories as well against teams. One team, for example, Wisconsin, happens to be getting better. So yeah, Iowa's a very, very good football team. And there are some other teams that are making moves up, but Iowa State goes up a couple of spots.
Let me ask you quickly about Penn State. Penn State in the border battle against Rutgers on
Oh, yeah.
Saturday. They can get to bowl eligibility. My take is this, for our purposes, what happened Saturday is about Nebraska not showing, just getting run over, as I think you said in your post-game video, by Penn State. That said, Penn State feels like a real team at this point, don't they?
Yeah, they're hitting on all the cylinders that they lost during the middle of the season. So sometimes it takes time to kind of get your bearings again. And I think it took them losing to Northwestern and then Iowa and then having a bye week. And since that bye week, they've been really good. They lost 38-14 to Ohio State or 38-17, but that was a pretty darn close game when you get right down to it. They nearly beat Indiana, then they beat Michigan State, and they beat Nebraska. They play at Rutgers. Rutgers' defense is really beat up and really small, and they have been the worst rush defense in the country for much of the season. And by that, I mean, I know there's some that are worse, but in terms of power conference teams, Rutgers can't stop anything. And so Catron Allen's gonna have a nice day against the Scarlet Knights. I would expect Penn State to win that game by double digits.
Who's the best team in the country, Sam?
Ohio State, they're number one, and they've proven that all year. And they're a complete team. The one thing that Ohio State doesn't do is they don't blow teams out. They don't. I don't think that's who Ryan Day is as a coach. He's not trying to do what some other teams are trying to do sometimes, and I appreciate that about him. But their team is completely dominant. They play Michigan this week. This is the one game every year that's kind of their sort of their kryptonite. And so I expect it to be a close game because I think Ohio State has a block at this point when it comes to playing Michigan. I do expect Ohio State to win the game, but I expect it to be tougher than it should be given the caliber of Michigan's team and the caliber of Ohio State's team.
One more football question, then we're on to hoops. If Michigan wins, are they in the playoff?
I think so. I think they'll probably be in the playoff. Yes, it would be kind of shocking, but they would move way, way up. And that would be really controversial, but I expect it to happen. I expect Michigan will leapfrog. I mean, at this point, their losses to Oklahoma and USC. Oklahoma is high enough to where Michigan can leapfrog a lot of teams and not reach Oklahoma. So that would have been the one loss where you would have been like, well, if Oklahoma's got three losses and Michigan's got two, but that's not going to be the case. I think OU's going to be up at, where were they last week? Eight in the CFP. And so, like, Michigan is not really competing with Oklahoma at this point. Oklahoma is high enough in those rankings that that's a really good loss. And honestly, if USC finishes 9-3, I don't think anybody's going to bat an eye at that loss either. So at that point, it really becomes about Alabama. And I think Michigan would move all the way up. We'll see what happens. Remember, there's teams ahead of Michigan right now that are going to lose, right? So, like, some of these teams aren't going to make it. Some of these teams are going to fall short. There's only going to be one ACC team, so it doesn't matter if Miami's in front of them. It's going to come down to Alabama and whether if Alabama goes to the SEC championship and they win. It's going to be tight, but I think Michigan will make the playoff if they beat Ohio State. Very, very close, but I'd say at this moment, yes.
Sam, relative to their competition, who's the better team? The Nebraska women's basketball team, which is in your top 25 ballot, or the Nebraska men's basketball team, neither of whom, by the way, have lost a game. Nebraska women or men better relative to the competition?
Women, I think they're probably the more complete team. I think the men have probably a little bit better wins. But if you look at a lot of the teams on the men's side, I don't have a men's ballot. I'd struggle to rank Nebraska right now. I think it'd be very close. They do have two power conference wins over Oklahoma and Kansas State on neutral sites. But yeah, I think the Nebraska women are probably a little higher on my list based on the way they're playing, their lack of need to depend on the 3-point shot. Which I find to be important, but when you're a make shot, miss shot team, they would go down in my rankings a little bit, and then do on the women's side when it's totally dependent on hitting threes. And I do think Nebraska's men's team, while they're pretty good at shooting threes, need to hit them in order to win games.
Iowa is number 11. Again, I will be at the game Sunday. And I'm not a cheer from the press box guy, but I won't be in the press box for this. Be in the stands, a little cheer for Fairfield. And you might have to put Fairfield in the poll if they beat your number 11 team in the country. So
I agree. I
keep an eye
agree.
on
If
that.
they do that, they'll probably be in the poll.
Two votes for Fairfield in this one. The Huskers are receiving votes in both, and they're almost the same spot. It looks like they are number 30 in the women's poll, basically, if you play it out, and then number 31 in the men's poll. What do the Huskers men, what do the Nebraska men need to do for you, where you would rank them if you had a ballot? What do they need to show you?
Probably keep winning, and then there would have to be, teams in front of them that lose. For example, if Creighton beats Iowa State, I think that would help Nebraska's cause. It helped Creighton's cause, for that matter. But it would help Nebraska's cause for getting in the rankings. They're not far away from it, and there's going to be a lot of games, as they call it during Feast Week, that sort of reorder things, and that's probably going to help Nebraska. So if they can beat Winthrop and they can beat South Carolina upstate, I think there's a good chance Nebraska is ranked next week. I really do, because there'll be some teams that lose in front of them, and pollsters generally tend to move teams down when they lose.
Omaha.com, Nebraska, Iowa, World Herald staff picks, I think, will be well read on Thanksgiving. You can mix it in. I don't know yet who I'm picking. Do you?
I do.
Do you want to tease that? You could tease it now,
Of
or you can
course.
make the fan show up to our site and read it. What do you
Yeah,
want to say?
I'm picking Nebraska. I think it's time. And I think Nebraska's been preparing for this. I don't think this is a they rolled out of the plane on Sunday morning and they're like, well, let's prepare for Iowa. No, I think this has been going a long time. I think they have a pretty good sense of what they want to do. I think TJ Lateef actually helps them. So the things that he's able to do actually works more against Iowa's defense than what Dylan Raiola can do. Iowa loves pocket passers. If you can run the quarterback against Iowa just a little bit, it changes the dynamics a little bit. So I think they got to get TJ out on the edge. I do think Nebraska's going to win the game. I've said that all year, and I'm not changing it right now.
All right, breaking news here on Behind the Ballot. Nebraska will beat Iowa, says Sam McEwen. If you want to see my pick, you got to convince me what the pick should be, but then you get to read it on omaha.com. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving to you, Sam.
Same to you.
He's Sam McEwen. I'm Ben Doody. We'll see you next week post-Thanksgiving and Behind the Ballot.